Hello and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome back to all you regular listeners. I'm so thankful for you, so thankful that you're back today, and welcome to anyone who's found us for the first time. It's no accident that you are here today, friend, so please don't run off quite yet. Please stick around for a bit, and let's see what the Lord has for all of us today. You know, I am just so thankful to be able to think about God's Word together with you. And it's not because I consider myself anything special. I'm not an eloquent Bible teacher or anything like that. I just love sharing the truth that is in God's Word. I love sharing with you that you can be in His Word every day. You can understand it. And oh, friend, if you're a believer, you must. We must be in His Word. We must abide in Him. And one of the ways that we abide in Him is that we abide in His Word. He just gives us so much. And like we talked about yesterday at the opening of that podcast, Jesus had said, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is our spiritual nourishment. And so may we find ways throughout the day to think about Him and His Word. And I've talked to you about this before, whether it's in your small group Bible study, and I hope it's a combination of all of these things for you. Working on a memory verse, having things stuck in your home or in your car or at your cubicle at the office that reminds you to think about different scriptures and think about His Word. Having a time that you just read, but don't just read His Word, study it and then apply it. Live it out and share it in ways that you worship in spirit and in truth, like we talked about yesterday. Have time in prayer, just sitting with the Father, bringing your petitions and your supplications and your prayers and thanksgivings to Him, but also listening. And I have a hard time with that. I sometimes am convicted that I've whipped into my prayer closet and I've given my list of requests, but I haven't sat at His feet or just listened or just quietened my heart before Him to be still. And I pray that He'll help me to do that more and more. But we must seek Him. We must spend that time with Him. We must deny ourselves, deny our comfort, deny what our flesh wants to do, and pick up our cross daily. Think about Him. Think about what He's done for us and follow Him. And it's a daily decision, friends. So I'm not saying that to make you feel bad if you haven't done that. If you've not done that up to now, let's purpose today to do it more today than we did yesterday. Let's encourage one another as long as it is today so that we won't be hardened by that deceitfulness of sin. You know, sin and self and flesh will say, oh, you got time, don't worry about that, or that old Bible study stuff. I've read the Bible, you know, I've read that chapter once before, so I don't need to do it again. Or I'm too busy to think about His Word, or I've got all this Christian stuff, I know this. No, friends, He's so gracious to give us His Word. He has been so gracious to do that. And He knows we're a forgetful people. He tells us throughout, you know, pay much closer attention to what you've heard so you don't drift away from it. Throughout the Old Testament, throughout the whole Scripture, we're often encouraged to remember, to call to mind, not to forget. And one of the ways we do that is we have to be disciplined in spending time with Him. And He's so gracious to meet us there. No time spent in His Word is wasted. So I just want to encourage you in that. Please know that I continue to pray for you, that the Lord would draw you closer to Him and give you more of a desire to know Him and His Word. Please consider sharing this podcast with your friends, neighbors, family, strangers, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it. And know, as always, that I love to hear from you. So if you feel so led, send me a message sometime. Well, our verse for the day for April the 24th, 2024, comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, and it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. I got it right today. Matthew 4:24, and the news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Oh, friends, there is so much here, and I'm excited for us to park here and think about just the majesty of our Lord and what Jesus did then and then what he does for us now that we do not deserve. But, oh, he loves us so, and he's so gracious. You know, we've been in this Gospel of Matthew, I think already. Yes, we were here already one other time earlier in the month, just a few days ago. We've been in three of the four Gospels this month. This time landing in Matthew, we were in John yesterday, we were in Mark the day before that, we're on a little run of Gospels, and so I love that. Remember that the Gospels tell us the good news of Jesus's earthly ministry, the good news of when God the Father sent him here and he walked on this earth. God made flesh, the Word made flesh to dwell among us, and he walked here and lived a completely sinless life. The Gospels tell the good news of how he died on that cross to pay the penalty for that we owed for our sins, because all of us are sinners. All of us have sinned against the Holy God, and it tells the good news of what he did for us. It tells us the good news of his resurrection after he died on that cross and was in that tomb for 3 days. It tells us the good news that he was seen in full bodily form by many, and that he ascended back to heaven, and that he's coming again. And I just am so thankful for that. Those Gospels were written by four different men with four different writing styles, and originally it seemed that they likely had their intended audiences to begin with were somewhat different. Matthew and John, Matthew seemed to be writing to his fellow Jews. He talked so much about the kingdom of heaven being near, and he used much of the Old Testament prophecies throughout his gospel to try to show and to let people see, yes, see how Jesus is this Messiah, see how he is the one who fulfilled these prophecies. And so he very much talks about that. Mark's gospel, as we talked about a couple of days ago, is the shortest gospel. Matthew's is the longest at 28 chapters. Mark's is the shortest. And it was thought that he wrote much of what the Apostle Peter taught. His was it's very concise. It moves along at a very quick rate. He uses the word immediately a lot. Luke's gospel is written by the only Gentile writer that we have, as far as we know, in this New Testament. And he would have known that good news that Gentiles could be saved as well. And when I say Gentiles, if you're new to this podcast, that is just someone who's not a Jew, not born a Jew. And that good news of the gospel is that Jesus came for whosoever would believe. Jesus came for everyone, but whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm just so thankful for that. John's gospel, as we talked about yesterday, was different. It had a bit of a different writing style. He didn't use the parables in his gospel like Matthew, Mark, and Luke did. His has been described as a spiritual gospel. It's thought that it was written several years after these original three gospels, and it just kind of ties everything together. But God used those different men with those different writing styles, and we can take this these four Gospels and get such a wonderful picture of what was going on. And you know, the critics of the Word and the critics of the Gospels will say, well, look, they're all a little different, so they're not telling the same thing, so they can't be true. But when you think about God used these different men from different walks of life, different personalities and all of that to tell the same story, it's much like we'll do. We will filter that through our life experiences, through what we have seen, through our personalities, through our way of telling things, and even if we see the same event. And so I do believe that. And I know that God's Word is breathed out. It's breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, correction, reproof, and training in righteousness. And I love what the Legacy Standard Bible says, where it says, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's what it's for. This truth is for us to know. Matthew and John were in that original apostle group, as we've talked about several times. Mark and Luke were not eyewitnesses like Matthew and John, but they received their information from someone or from those who were. Matthew was a tax collector. He was also known as Levi. And Jesus, we read about the calling of Matthew in Matthew chapter 9, where it says in 9:9, and as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he stood up and followed him. And so, as I may have mentioned a few days ago, we don't know for sure if Matthew had heard like some of Jesus's other teaching, like the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, and then God had already prepared his heart for that. We know God prepared his heart. God drew him to Jesus. It was in God's plan that Matthew would be one of these apostles. Or if that was just the first time Matthew had ever met Jesus. But regardless, Matthew left that life of seeming security. You know, he had a good job. He worked for the government. And he wasn't very well liked, but he worked for the government, and he left that. He left what he could see for those eternal things that he couldn't see. And he knew the cost of laying everything down to follow Jesus. But, oh, friends, it's worth it. And I think he would tell us that it was worth it. I think that's why he worked so hard trying to get his fellow Jews to realize, yes, Jesus is the one we've been looking for. And so where we find ourselves in Matthew's gospel today is right after Matthew records about the calling of the very first disciples. Just before that, we see that Jesus had been led by the Spirit at the beginning of Matthew chapter 4 into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. He was tempted. And after that time of temptation, it says in 4:11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. And then Jesus started in full force in his earthly ministry. And we read, as I mentioned, that we see in verse 18 about the calling of the first disciples, where he called Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And he said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And then going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And then we get to this section where we find our verse for the day. In verse 23, it says, and Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And here's our verse. And the news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Oh, friends, this is one of those times when I love it that we will slow down and look at those little words. You know, how many times, if you've been a student of the Word for a long time, and you may not have done this, but I've realized that I've done this, I will read through a passage of Scripture and I'll be like, oh yeah, that's nice. That sounds good. That's good. Look, you know, Jesus healed all the people. It just keep moving. But let's slow down. Listen to this. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill. Every single person in that region. Now, I don't know how many there were that were there at that time, but It wasn't just a few, because later we read about these large crowds that followed him. And it says, brought to him all who were ill. And then he gives examples, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. You know, I think if we don't take the time to look at those alls, those little words that sometimes we just gloss over, I have missed how profound this is. They brought all the people in that region. And so that region of Galilee and Samaria and all those places, it was not just a city, it was a region, and then there were cities and towns within it. If you could look, and I would encourage you to maybe get a Bible map or look on the internet for that a map of that region at the time of Christ. If you were to look at the map, Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Bethany would be down kind of in the south, over to the east, I'm sorry, to the west. I'm directionally challenged, to the west of the Dead Sea. And then above that would be Samaria, and above that, north of that, would be that region of Galilee, which would have Capernaum and Nazareth and Cana and Bethsaida and all those areas. And then north of that, you get into Phoenicia and Syria. And so that's kind of how it was. So this was up north of where Jerusalem was. And they brought to him from this region, they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with all these various things, and he healed them. And I think about over in Matthew chapter 10, when he chose his apostles, and we read over there, I just don't want you to miss this. This is just something that has been so important to me. It's like seeing what the therefores are there for, and therefore, and seeing when he says every, seeing when he says all, seeing when the word says so that. I mean, all of these are wonderful clues for us to just know more of him and know more of his word, and we don't need to pass over it. If you look over in chapter 10, when he called his apostles, it says, and summoning his 12 disciples, Jesus gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And I mean, this power was fantastic. Now that broke it into every kind, but here it clearly says in 24 that they brought to him all who were ill. And some may say, wow, I wish he would do that now. I wish he would heal everybody now. And friends, he gives us an option, the opportunity to have complete healing. Now, it may not be physical. And a lot of people get hung up on that. They say, well, why doesn't he do it now? Why doesn't he do what he did then for us? And some people lose their faith, or I don't know if they ever had their faith, but they turn away from the faith because they ask God for something and he doesn't give it. But God's ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. Everything that he does, everything he asks Jesus to do is for a purpose. Everything that he works in is to give him the glory. So if he gets more glory from people having faith through an illness, and he walks with us through an illness or through a difficulty, instead of just taking it away from us, taking that illness or whatever away, he's going to do according to his will, not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us, and because he knows what is best. He could see all of those things. And also, at this time, a lot of what Jesus did, we read about this a lot in John's gospel, many of the signs he did was because of many of those signs, people believed. But then later he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. There's all an element of faith. But when we get back to here, they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. What I started to say was, he heals our sin, sickness, and friends. That's more profound than any physical healing that we could ask for. There's no doubt that some people are healed physically still today. It's unexplained, and it's however, except that God did it. And it's, if that's what brings him the most glory, if that's what in that situation are going to turn more people to him, then praise the Lord. But sometimes it won't be that way. Sometimes it's the testimony of those who walk through that. But he does heal our sin sickness. He does make a way for us to be delivered. And it's not just for this short time here on earth, which is just a drop in the bucket. When he heals our sin sickness and he saves our souls, that's making us complete. That's making us whole in him. That's for eternity. And friends, that is much better. And you may say, well, you've not walked through pain. You don't know how bad my pain is. If he would just heal me, you know, I would be able to proclaim this, that, or the other. We can't question God in that way. We've been told that in this world we will have trouble and that his grace is sufficient for us. His power is made perfect in our weakness. His glory is shown by our faith in him. I mean, we give him the glory by trusting him, by having faith in him. And know how he grows us in those times when we trust him all the more. Oh, how he strengthens our faith in those times when we say, I'm going to praise you in this storm. I'm going to praise you as I walk through this difficulty because you deserve the praise. And if you choose to heal me like you did those there in Syria and Galilee, then I'll give you praise. And if you don't, I will still give you praise because you are holy, you are worthy, you deserve all the glory and honor and praise. And may we be able to do that. I'm thankful for this example. I know that at that time it was necessary. It was part of God's plan. It was showing that Jesus to those people there, that Jesus was fully God. He was able to have that power over the physical realm, over people's diseases. He was able to have power over the natural realm, you know, multiplying food, calming the storms, all those things. He had power over the spiritual realm that showed his deity. He had power to forgive. And because they didn't have all this written word in the full, you know, revelation of what was going on, I think God had to show some of that. We didn't have to show. He graciously chose to show that and to show those signs through Jesus. But we have the book. We have the testimony of what he's done. And so he has graciously given us his word and healed us. And I want to just show you this over in Psalm. We go here often, but I think it'll mean a lot to you. Thank him. Thank him for healing us. That healing means to be made complete. Thank him that he would save our soul, that he would cleanse our soul, and that he would heal us from our sin sickness. Listen to this. Then they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and provided them escape from their destructions. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness and for his wondrous deeds to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices with thanksgiving and recount his works with joyful singing. And just one more place to show you how Jesus has made a way for healing for all of us. In Isaiah 53:4, this prophecy spoke of what he would do. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our peace fell upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He does. offer healing for all, and I am so thankful. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.